Hey there, welcome to Build Your Tribe. My name's Shalene Johnson.
And my name is Brock Johnson.
With more than 25 years of experience in a variety of businesses, I promise to share with you the ins, the outs, my failures, and successes.
And my goal is to share with you these social media money-making strategies to turn your idea into passive income.
Every week, my son, Brock, and I will share with you perspectives that will serve you regardless of the stage that you're at in your business. Whether you're a solo entrepreneur looking to grow your brand in social media or you've got dreams for a global brand, Build Your Tribe is here to serve you.
All right, Mom, this one's all you.
This is part two of an interview I did in person with Brian Tracy. If you listened to part one, thank you. I appreciate you. If you haven't, you can jump in and listen to this one, but you're going to want to go back and listen to the first one. He's legendary. So when I, knew today I had to record an intro for this part two, I, of course, start thinking about Brian and I can't compose myself. I keep wanting to cry. I'm like, what is going on? So I Google searched that. I'm like, this is my Google search. It's on my computer screen right now. Why do we cry when we feel an overwhelming sense of gratitude? There's a lot of different reasons behind it, but it's a sign of true happiness. And I can't think of him without getting choked up because I'm so grateful. Okay, get it together, girlfriend. Back in the day, we had cassettes, right? And that was pre-revolutionary. Until then, there were just books. But when you could hear a person's voice through a cassette, that changed things. What I wanted to say is when you can hear someone's voice, you can hear authenticity. You can hear intention. You can tell if someone cares. You can tell if they believe it, if they're living it. And he had all those things for me. Back in the day, it was cassettes. Today, it's podcasts. I am so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for every moment that you listen to this podcast. I'm grateful that my son has been educated by experts other than me. My daughter, both of them listen to podcasts. And I mentioned my son first because, of course, he's the co-host now with me of Build Your Tribe. And he grew up listening to Brian Tracy. I mean, when he was a toddler, before he even could form words, he was in the back seat in his car seat and mom was driving around listening to Brian Tracy on cassette on repeat. So for those of you who are kind of doing the same thing to your kids, they're listening to podcasts while they're in the car and you think that they're not listening and maybe they're playing on their little digital devices, trust me, some of it's seeping in. So here's part two of my interview with Brian Tracy. Well, you know, what you just said is it kind of speaks volumes about who you are. I've written two books on the subject, you said, and I downloaded another one from another author and expert today. You are always a student and always looking for new knowledge.
Yes.
And that seems like it's an insatiable desire that you have. Do you think that is one of the critical elements of success, is that you have to be hungry for knowledge? You have to be curious?
You have to be hungry. Les Brown's telling
you,
I got to be hungry. Yeah. Well, that's a really good point. And Harvard did a study, and they said, what's the most important quality for success? And it's ambition, which is another way of saying hunger.
Hunger.
You have to be willing to work for a long, long time without success. And too many people are led astray with this idea that success of any kind is a shortcut. There's fast, easy ways for you to achieve great success. No, there's not. The average self-made millionaire has worked 22 years before they break through. Every self-made billionaire has worked 15 years in their field before they found a lucky break. But part of the lucky break comes from them being totally surrounded by other people and constantly learning. Forbes did an interview and they asked self-made billionaires, 87% of billionaires are self-made, started with nothing. And they said, what are the keys? They said, continuous learning, clear goals, associating with other successful people and learning from those people, and the willingness to take risks.
Yeah.
They're willing to take risks and to go all in, if you like.
I can't remember the name of the author. The book is called The Economy of Free, and I was recently reading this book and realizing how true it's kind of changed our society, our environment, where we've been giving people so much for free, right? Like, even in marketing, it's like, well, here you can have this free report if you, in exchange for your email address, although we know nothing's free. But I've found that free just doesn't have value. Like, I try to attract people who understand,
you have to make an investment, even if that's an investment of your time. Like, if you're not willing to make an investment, there is no return on free.
Yes. Well, in our internet business, there's about 30 people working on our internet business, is we very often have to offer something, I call it a heavy hors d'oeuvre. Mm. You have to offer a piece of information that is really valuable in and of itself in order to demonstrate to people this is the kind of things that you get mm-hmm. when you buy any kind of information product from us. And then we slap on top of that an unconditional guarantee that if for any reason you're not happy with anything that you get from us, you have your money back with no questions. And because, but so you have to appeal because people are being offered thousands of things.
Yes.
You have to offer them something good as well. But then you show this is an example of what we offer. And then we say, here's our real product. This is with the real value.
Yeah.
And if you're not happy, there's no charge.
Yeah.
And that's worked very well for us. We have one of the highest ratings on the internet. It's a company that really satisfies its
yeah.
customers.
I know it worked for me. I mean, I remember feeling fear the first time, even though I had a track record of learning from you remotely. I always tell people, don't expect a mentor to come knocking on your door, especially in the age of the internet. They're available to you online. Like, allow someone to be your mentor by studying under them. And I did that for so many years. But the very first time I really made an investment, a big investment, to come to a very small, private, intimate seminar that you did for speakers and authors, I still felt that nervousness, like, this is a lot of money. Will I follow through? I know he's going to be good for it. Will I follow through? And it was just knowing that you said those words. If you're not completely satisfied, return it, you know, and you'll have a refund. And so then I knew it was up to me. You know, I knew that the only piece that I didn't know for sure was, would I follow through? And if I could answer that question for myself, I had my decision.
Well, and I remember that course. There's 12 people in one room.
Yeah.
And the star of the room.
I was a little bossy.
Well, no. Everybody sort of serves as a guide or a counselor to each other. And strengths and weaknesses help and everything. And you always were the most helpful. Hmm. You say if you could do more of this or less of that or more of this or less than that. It was really wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and so everybody appreciated you because you were very candid.
Sometimes too much so. Yeah, I think I sometimes have to work on that. I don't know if you have some advice for me, but I can't help but see people's potential. And sometimes I want to give advice when they haven't asked for it
yes.
and they're not ready for it.
That's right.
So I'm learning how to read when people are in a place that they actually, even if they haven't asked for it, they're ready for it.
Right.
Any advice for knowing when,
well, the,
when to
the,
zip
the,
it?
The, and I learned this decades ago, and the answer is don't give advice. Mm. Nobody wants it and nobody follows it.
Wow.
So just don't ever give advice.
Well, that's pretty bold coming from someone who gives such great advice.
So, and the best way of all is people say, well, could you give me some advice here? And so you always ask the magic question, well, what do you think you should do? And they'll answer you. And that's what they're going to do anyway. It's like when you go to your husband and say, which set of earrings should I wear? Honey, which one do you like the most?
Oh, smart.
These the most.
Brilliant.
That's what I was going to choose.
Brilliant. That is such good advice.
Do it with shoes, pants, dresses, anything you like.
You know, you always are so put together and so eloquent and so articulate, so organized, you know, all these things that people aspire to be. What does Brian Tracy, unabashed, letting loose, crazy look like? And is there ABBA playing in the background?
Always there's ABBA. That's our favorite family song. But I am the same at all times.
You're on the beach in Maui and you're wearing a blue
suit. I'm shooting some videos for Facebook, which would be seen. One of our videos was seen by 384,000 people in the first few seconds. So I clean up. I I'm doing this talk with you, so I wanted to look good for you.
Okay, thank you.
But also, I'm doing some introductions. Thank you for coming to my seminar in Kazakhstan. I'll be looking forward to seeing you in the seminar. You will learn this. So I do a video production for every seminar that I do.
Wow.
And my business is really quite phenomenal. I am more booked today than any other year in my history, except for next year. And next year, I'm sold out.
Wow.
We have people already ready to pay anything, and there's not a single day available.
Wow.
Which is phenomenal because the speaking business has changed a lot in the last few years.
It has.
Yeah.
You know, and so much of that change, I wondered how you felt about it. I mean, I grew up admiring you. I mean, by grew up meaning grew up in the industry.
Right.
Right. And just really understanding the principles that you've taught great speakers to adhere to. And I know it's made a huge difference in my business. It's made a difference in my infomercials. Like, I go back to the notebooks that are 10 and 15 years old of notes that you talk about specifically what a great presentation has to have. And whether I'm on a stage or a podcast or on TV doing an infomercial, those same ingredients need to be there if I want the cake to turn out the right recipe.
Yes.
But I see so many speakers that look like a mess, and they're dropping F-bombs, and they're just, you know, they'll come up on the stage and they're like, I didn't prepare anything, you know, I'm just gonna talk to you guys.
I know. I see this all the time, and I just...
And I think it's like they're so brazen. I don't know why people get so caught up in that, except they think like, oh, I could do that too. Well, yes, so could your drunk neighbor.
Yes.
I just really let my true opinion show, didn't
right.
I?
Right. When I first started speaking, I guess I went to a few seminars like Zig Ziglar and people like that.
Yeah.
They were always well-dressed. It's completely unheard of for a man or a woman speaker to dress casually.
Mm.
And so when you see people who dress like bums today, it's really surprising.
Mm.
And then
But people seem to be attracted to it.
Well, you know, someone once, I ran into a friend of mine after I'd begun doing seminars, about 2 years, hadn't seen him. I'd worked for him. He's a very rich and very successful businessman. And he said, Brian, he said, how are you doing? I said, fine. He said, what sort of work are you doing now? And I said, well, I'm giving seminars. And he said, well, how's it going? And I still remember this. It was in a supermarket, a shopping center with my family. And I said, it's going well. He said, well, how do you define well in your business? He's a very smart guy. And I said, well, I had to really think. I said, well, it's how many times you're booked and how much you're paid per booking. And on that basis, I'm doing very well. I said, oh, that's interesting. And for the rest of my life, I knew how to measure.
Yeah, that's true.
And so you look at people who are more casual than we are. And so they have a booking here and a booking there, but how long before they disappear?
Mm.
And often
staying power.
Yeah, they disappear.
Are they going to have their busiest year when they're in their 70s?
Yeah, well,
right?
73 years old, and my assistant, my general manager, tells me, and my clients are telling me, isn't there any way you can fit me in for one day in 2018? I said, well, I'm sure I could. I said, no, we've spoken to your assistant. She says, you don't have a day available. And so I just shake my head. Another thing, I told you, I never forget where I came from, but I'm also grateful. I'm always grateful for having been successful.
Mm-hmm.
It was not easy, and it was not free. I had to work hard, and I still work very hard. You know, I read 3 hours a day, on average, as a speaker. I read on airplanes, or I read at home, and I'm constantly...
I've adopted that habit because of you.
Yeah, I'm constantly upgrading my skills. I listen to educational audio programs in my car when I drive. I'm always learning new things. And it's quite amazing because people say, well, can you write a book on this subject or that subject? And I think always the publishers come to me and say, we would like you to write a book for us. And I say, well, what subject? And they said, well, we've had an editorial meeting and we feel there's a real need for a book on self-discipline. Could you write us a book on self-discipline? And I said, yeah, I've studied that subject for years. I think it's so important. I'd be pleased to do that. So I do. And the book is the best-selling book worldwide, 25 languages. People love the subject of self-discipline, which is the most important quality for success.
Yeah.
You can be the smartest person with all the opportunities in the world, but if you don't have the discipline to really work hard, then nothing will help.
And it is that discipline that gives you freedom.
Yes.
And I think people don't realize that the more discipline you have, that's not taking away, it's giving you so much freedom.
Yes.
That is how I too would define success is freedom.
Yeah. You're in control of your own life.
Yeah. And I can't imagine being in a position where I was afraid to just try.
Yeah.
You know? And what's the worst thing that could happen?
That's the worst. And when you have a good husband too, and you're in a good relationship, then that's covered. That's 85% of your life is covered.
But what about the people who say, he was a great guy, or she was a great gal, but we've fallen out of love, or, you know, he's not the person who I thought he was.
Right.
I personally believe that so often you talk yourself into a bad, like, you talk your marriage into a bad place.
Yeah.
Like, you start deciding you hate where you work. You start to decide that you feel ill. You begin to believe that it's all of your problems are the fault of your spouse.
Well, maybe it is that you settle for what you know not a great relationship.
I see.
And so you make excuses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. And one of the greatest fears that people have is, I'll never meet anybody.
Mm.
Or I'll never find the right person to be happy. men and women have this, but men especially, I don't want to be alone all my life.
Yeah.
And so what they often do is settle for less than the best.
Yeah.
And then they justify it. So that's why I can clear out a quarter of a room with that question. Is there anything that you're doing in your life today that, knowing what you now know, you wouldn't get into?
Wow.
And it's quite amazing. And women are much more likely to walk out of a relationship than men are.
Wow.
There was a study done by a large factory. It had 4,000 women working in manufacturing in Boston. And they asked a whole lot of questions on work satisfaction and how they could change things to make people happier, lights, foods, luncheons, everything. And somebody in the group, they talked about this afterwards, threw in an extra question at the end. It wasn't supposed to be on personal life. It was supposed to be on work satisfaction. And it was as if you could change anything in your life today, if you had enough money to change anything in your life, what would you do differently? And they were astonished. 38% of the women said they'd get right out of the marriage that they were in. They'd get out of it tomorrow.
Wow.
The only reason they're working is because they have bills to pay and have kids in school and things like that.
So the lesson there is don't settle.
Yeah. So what we do is we just sort of compromise our way into a bad situation. And I say that when you ask this question, would you get into this situation again, knowing what you now know? Then the next question, the answer is, how fast do you get out? Yes, if the answer is no, then and how do you get out and how fast? And I say, because once you have determined that you would not get into this situation, whatever it is, it already means it's too late.
Mm.
It will never be resolved. It will never get better. It's finished. So the only question is, how long are you going to stay in the situation?
Mm.
And this is what will happen. Eventually, sooner or later, you will walk away. Or the situation will walk away from you, and you'll be standing there.
Mm.
But if you decide to walk away, you're going to have two experiences. The first experience is a tremendous sense of relief.
Yeah.
People feel, they feel so much happier that they finally got out of it. And the second feeling is, why didn't I do that a long time ago?
Wow. Those relationships or business, it doesn't really matter.
Why didn't I do it a long time ago? And I can teach you this for years, and all over the world it's the same thing. I should have done this a long time ago.
Wow. I've got just a few more questions. The first of which is millionaires,
right?
Everybody wants to be a millionaire today.
Yes.
Do you believe because of social media, because, you know, basically to be discovered, to be found, you just need a phone. Do you believe that the time that it takes to become a success has been shortened because of the opportunities to be seen and be discovered with social media? Do you think that, are you seeing in your own experience that people are doing it quicker?
Well, some people are, but remember the ones that are get a lot of publicity.
Mm.
And the other 99%, for whom nothing has changed, don't get any publicity. What I have found is that if the only way to become wealthy for the long term is to produce something that is good and valuable for people, that changes their lives. And I've studied this. I now give two-day seminars. One is called the Two-Day MBA, and the second is called a Business Model Reinvention.
Mm-hmm.
Is how do you examine your business model from 12 different angles and make sure that the business model that you're actually using or attempting to use is still the correct business model for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's 55 different business models that you can pick from that cover 90% of the world's businesses. About 80% of them are wrong. They're partially wrong or totally wrong.
Mm.
And so you have to stand back and say, is my business model the correct one? And the answer to that, by the way, is if your sales and profitability are continuing to grow, it means you have the right business model.
Mm.
If you're struggling and fighting and everything else, it means that the world has moved, it's changed, and you've gone down the wrong road. So I say you have to offer a product or service that really makes a difference in people's lives. And you have to offer it so that it's better, it's superior to anyone else offering a similar product or service. Why? It's because human beings are expedient. It's they'll always choose the fastest and easiest way to get the things they want in the shortest period of time. So if you're going to offer a product, make sure it's something that people want and care about, and that your product is superior to that of anyone else you're competing with.
Yeah.
So people who come up with something like your telephone, Steve Jobs came up with that. Nokia and BlackBerry, the heads of both those companies dismissed it as a toy.
Wow.
And 5 years later, both of those companies, which controlled half the world of cellular telephones, were gone.
Wow.
Because they dismissed it as a toy. They didn't realize that their phones were no longer superior.
It's everything now. It's crazy how much it's become part of our lives.
Oh, it's become part of our lives. One of the examples I use is, does your product matter? Does your product or service matter to people in terms of changing and improving their lives in an important way? And second of all, are you better than anyone else who does it in some way.
Yeah.
And I say, for example, Mattery. I said, what if you, anybody here had this experience where you got in your car and drove off to work and you'd driven a mile and suddenly you realized, oh my God, I left my phone at home.
Yeah.
I said, what did you do?
Turn right back
Everybody
around.
Everybody turns right, because that matters. That's a
yes.
product that matters
yeah.
to you.
That's right.
And it's superior. So if you say, is it the most superior cell phone, smartphone in the world? It's always Apple. What's the most profitable company in the world? Apple. What company sells the most? Apple. There was a great, interesting statistic that came out a few weeks ago, and they interviewed the 500 million iPhone owners. And they asked them, based on your experience with the iPhone, what are your plans for purchasing another iPhone in the future? 90% said they're going to purchase another iPhone. The following day, Warren Buffett bought $18 billion worth of shares in Apple. Everybody's saying, oh, Apple's past the peak and they're gone. And
no.
But 90% of their customers
wow.
are going to buy again.
Wow.
As soon as it hits the market, then Apple's going to continue to be one of the most profitable companies in the history of the world.
Yeah, pretty brilliant.
Yeah, just brilliant. And that's what matters. So you always think, does my product or service matter?
Matter.
Does it improve people's lives in a significant way? That's the job that we're in. We're in to help people to improve
yes.
their lives in
yes.
some way.
Yeah, and boy, you really know how to do that. I wanted to take a moment to just honor you for that specifically, because when you talk about doing something that really matters in people's lives, I know that you hear this from thousands and thousands of people, but for me, at every single turn, to have that integrity, like when I figured out I needed to learn how to focus, to goal set,
right.
that was the very first course that I did with you, and then once I understood that, gosh, learning is the cornerstone of changing my life, my mind, I've got to learn how to be a better learner. And then I took a course with you. Again, these are all cassettes, you
yes.
know, back in the day.
CDs, yeah.
Yeah. Eventually we went to CDs. This is like even before CDs. And I would listen to, you know, audio programs on how to be a better learner and how I could read faster and how I could absorb information, how I needed to prioritize that. And then eventually I started businesses, and I just kept taking, I would, every time I realized there was something I didn't know,
yes.
my go-to, because I could count on the information to be not fluffed up,
no.
just very direct, and in the voice, and by voice, I mean your speaking style, but not just that, just here are the steps, follow them. You know, it doesn't need to be over-explained.
And they work immediately.
Immediately.
I won't teach anybody anything. It's unless you get
yeah.
instant results from trying
yeah.
it out. And that motivates you to learn even more.
It's exciting. And it becomes addicting.
Yeah.
So, and I've done business mastery with you. And then when I decided I wanted to write a book, I came and did a seminar with you and later became that same year a New York Times bestselling author.
Wow.
And it just changed, you know, the
yes.
way that I speak.
Yes.
And it's affected my infomercials. It's affected so much of my life and my relationships with my family. So I have to say, thank you.
Thank you. Well, I love the little expression, make it happen. Just make it happen. If you have a goal or a dream or a fantasy, yes, don't expect it to be easy.
Yeah.
If you expect it to be easy, you'll just take all the polish off it. Expect that anything worthwhile is going to be hard and take a long time. And just make it happen. Get on with it.
Just start.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time. And thank you for your generosity.
Thank
your
you.
Generosity and your wisdom, it's really had a profound effect on my life.
Thank you, Chalene. Well, you've been a great positive person in my life as well.
Thank you.
And I just love to see you.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you so much for enjoying this experience with me. This was my way of giving Brian a power thank you. And if you don't know what a power thank you is, you just listen to one. It's being specific. It's telling somebody why they mean the world to you. It's coming from your heart, and it's letting them know what specific impact it had on your life. And I think a power thank you should be ongoing. You'll never hear me not reference Brian Tracy when I think about what I've learned, what I'm able to teach other people, and where I'm at today. So I hope that you enjoyed this. And if I may, thank you for spending this time with me listening to Build Your Tribe. I am so grateful that you're a subscriber. And if you're not yet a subscriber, can I encourage you to do so? Then you don't have to look for new episodes. They'll just show up for you automatically. And for those of you who haven't yet left a review for Build Your Tribe, if you're doing so today, which you can do right from your phone, like right now, you could do it while it's even still playing, Can I ask you to mention Brian Tracy's name in your review? Because I would love to screenshot those and send them to him as part of my ongoing thank you. I've been thanking him now for 20 years, and I don't think I'll ever stop. Thank you for listening. It was my goal to be brief, to be bright, to be fun, and then be done. I think we accomplished most of those things except for the brief part. All right, I'm out. I love you.
This episode has been brought to you by the Smart Life Push Journal. If you're the type of individual who loves to make lists, keep yourself on task, get organized, and there just don't seem to be enough hours in the day. This is a convenient, lightweight, simple to use 30-day system. This is not just a day planner. And learn how you can get your health, fitness, life, and goals organized and develop the laser focus you need to have the life that you deserve. Check it out. Go to smartlifepushjournal.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.